Welcome to Movie Banter.
Hey.
We're back.
It's been a while.
It's been a very long time.
Long time no see.
Yeah, you thought we'd given up, and we sort of had.
more by accident than design.
You know.
Yeah, things get in the way.
Resigned ourselves. It's like the reunion show.
It's been months.
Exactly.
But yes. Well, except we've all seen each other, just not
Don't
with microphones.
That.
Sorry,
we
haven't
out.
Seen each other. What have you all been up to?
Oh, lots.
Seen loads of films.
Well, very true.
Well, I haven't, which is why I haven't really pushed for doing any podcasts, because I've seen nothing. But you guys have.
We've seen a few.
Quite a lot.
I've seen a couple, probably.
Yeah.
Yes. So sorry it's been so long, but we were driven back to record by the fact that millions of you have been emailing saying, where have you been? We can't cope without you.
That's a complete lie.
Yes.
Some of you have emailed in reviews and the like, which we'll talk about.
Well, then in that case, it's not a complete lie, is it?
It's still...
If I said I'm going to give you millions of pounds,
then I gave you £2. Would you not describe that as pretty much a complete lie?
This is the equivalent of more than £2.
Well, of course, we value our listeners.
Who's been giving us £2? No.
I said if I was to give Jen £2, I'm not going to.
I thought we were going to get 60.
It's my £2. No, unfortunately not. No.
We value it all the same.
We'll have to starve for another day.
Oh, dear.
Boo.
We won't starve, we'll just have pizza.
Well, yes, Jen just... Oh, if this was a video podcast, you would have been given a real treat for the eyes of watching Jen shovel an enormous pizza.
I haven't had lunch.
No, yeah. Since 4.
And dinner. And breakfast.
And all the meals forever.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. Anyway.
But yes, so how have you been? Good.
Oh. Yeah. Your life. Is that wrong?
I don't know. I'm just hoping that no one said, no one's had anything really awful happen to them. Because then I said that was good.
Oh, okay.
If it was awful, then I'm really sorry.
Good.
About that. But, yeah. Good riddance to you.
Jen is glad that. Anyway.
We're delighted to have you back. Thank you for staying with us.
Yes, thank you for staying subscribed.
Whoever's still subscribed to this. If this appeared in your iTunes thing, it's probably because you forgot
subscribed
to it in the first place.
No, subscriber numbers have stayed about the same, which means that people tend not to think they haven't done one for ages, we'll get rid of them. Exactly. They hold out hope. That it will resurface.
Exactly.
This is like a little surprise. A little, how are you?
Exactly.
When you thought...
It's like one of those actors you thought was dead, and then suddenly they appear in something.
It's like finding £2 down the back of your sofa.
Well, we're back on the £2 now.
Ah,
where is it?
There you go.
Yeah.
It's like watching a film and suddenly going, hey, that's Josh from The West Wing.
Very true.
Yeah.
Which will be relevant.
Older and fuller of face.
But, yes. Except not that much older, because
much
the film I think you're referring to was filmed like 3 years ago.
Oh, it was actually, wasn't it? But then West Wing stopped. I don't know, 8 years ago? Something like that, probably.
No. No, it started, I think, in, like, 99, and it ran for 7 years.
Oh, okay.
So it's 2006. Yeah. Actually, that's still 5-6 years ago. Yeah, so.
It's a lovely story, but
sure. You're patronising.
we're not even losing the audience, we're losing one of the co-hosts. That's not...
So the thing is, I didn't even want to mention which film it was, because I don't know if that counts as any sort of... I mean, I quite enjoyed the fact that I sat down and watched it and went, hey, it's Josh from the West Wing, basically playing Josh from the West Wing.
Well, no.
A film that I didn't expect to find Josh from the West Wing in, if that makes sense.
Yes, but... No, well, we could just launch into it as we're sort of dancing around.
No, we're all right, then.
All right,
we're talking about... We've got to be very careful on the spoilers of this film.
Yes, we're talking about Cabin in the Woods, which is...
There's a Cabin in the Woods? Well, I didn't even know that.
Because the thing is, it's a tricky one, because... Something that even I would not choose to talk about on something like this, in terms of the basic setup of it all, is all shown in the trailer. The trailer makes it all quite clear, so what the basic setup is. But still leaves... No, in the very basic setup. But still leaves... Yes. And within the first 2 minutes of watching the film, you'll see what the basic setup is. And then how it all unfolds is the interesting bit. But I think if it's still better to not even know that.
Yeah.
And just go, eh.
And I didn't, because I hadn't seen the trailer. Or at least I hadn't seen it for such a long time, I kind of forgot what it's about. I think it must have been more of a teaser than a trailer. Anyway.
Yes.
Apparently, though, Cabin in the Woods is quite a well-known sort of American film phrase.
Yeah, well, it's a trope of sorts. As far as I know... I assume Evil Dead was possibly the first one to do it properly. But then Texas Chainsaw Massacre touches on it.
Of course.
When was that?
Much later. Much later. I've just been generally...
Yeah. But it's become almost a stereotype, which they know about, of course.
But then are you also saying it's a trope in America or whatever because, not just horror films, but because in America people have a cabin in the woods?
Well, I think that is...
they
do
exist. Should we go to the cabin in the woods?
Yeah.
Which is, again, treading close to spoiler territory, sort of alluded to here in this film as being an American thing.
Yes, very much so.
Homeland recently had a whole episode sort of like a cabin in the woods.
Oh, really?
But with no sort of horror element. just like, yeah, let's go to the cabin in the woods. And they go.
Fair enough. Or even, but like in 24, when Kim is, you know, on the run from a cougar and stumbles across, you know, guy who lives on his own in a cabin.
In a cabin in the woods.
I think a thing happens.
Final Destination had it as well. One of the main character escaped the cabin.
Oh, yes, he does. And nearly gets skewered.
And Fallen, I suppose you could say, ends at a cabin in the
woods.
Yes,
very true.
Any kind of zombie film in that respect has a bit of a cabin in the woods because
the premise of this is meant to be the most stereotypical thing in the world, which is, you know, five teenagers go to the cabin in the woods for a weekend.
Ooh, party.
Exactly. And then horrific things ensue.
But you know that there's going to be a bit of a
twist. I mean, yeah, if anyone's selling it to you to go and see it just said, oh, it's a horror film about five kids who go to a cabin in the woods.
Believe them.
It sounded like the most generic film ever. But just be aware that the filmmakers know it's the most generic thing ever and have done interesting things with it.
I'd say, you know, in many ways, I want to go, yeah, and it's just that. Go and see it.
Because then it would sound like a really boring film. You think I've seen that film 8,000 times.
It's not.
I think it's helpful to just know, even if you know it's a cabin in the woods film, horror film, but behind it is one of the guys behind Lost and Joss Whedon, who did Buffy and Serenity and stuff.
And Drew Goddard, who also did Cloverfield.
Lost as well. So you kind of know, okay, so this won't necessarily be, you know, because like Scream, of course, it has been likened to Scream in some respects.
Yes,
as well,
I mean, it's a sort of a self-aware horror film.
But even with Scream, you knew Wes Craven was behind it, and you're going, oh, Wes Craven, who did all the kind of the crap 80s stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Well, not crap, a bit of its time.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, so with Scream, even with knowing it's Wes Craven, it was a slightly, reinvention type thing. Mm. Whereas this, I think that if you know the guys behind it, you go, okay, it's everything. Yes.
I think Joss Whedon has described it as along the lines of sort of a hate letter to horror films.
Right.
Or
sort of like that, in that sort of trying to undermine it but turn it back on you or make you re-examine them
I don't get that at all.
An affectionate hate letter.
Yes.
And sort of undermining the core premises of them while at the same time following through on a lot of them.
I really, really, really enjoyed this film.
I've been more evangelical about this to most people than I have any other film I can think of in recent times. Partly also because it's Joss Whedon, it's funny. It's consistent. I found it consistently funny.
And I found actually, regardless of the way they do things and all the stuff we can't talk about, there were just, even in the sort of the setup of the horror film, there are funny lines. Like that. An early example I thought, and he talks about these gas machines don't even know
what money is.
This is barter gas. And I laughed out loud at that. I thought, it's a nice idea. It's just a nice, quite obtuse, subtle sort of... It's witty. It's dry and witty.
Yeah.
Which you don't normally get in those sort of films. Yeah. Normally the comedy is more like, dude, and beer, and stuff.
So you definitely... And all of the characters in it sort of start out being quite not that well-defined, but slightly unusual or not entirely stereotypical quite quickly, but then slowly sort of turn into the stereotypes.
I thought that was interesting, the way at the very start you go, really? The jock guy is kind of
the jock guy is talking about international economics.
That was pretty good.
And some really great editing that make me laugh out loud. Even, I think, with the titles coming up.
Oh, yes.
They just burst onto... It was like a really mundane little scene.
Yeah.
With two people chatting, and then it's like, cabin in the woods!
Yeah, the first bit of the film that makes you jump... It's not a massively jumpy film, but the first bit that will remotely make you jump isn't really a jump moment. It just happens to make you jump, which is just the credits appearing.
It just keeps you on
toes. I think also there was a perfect time for those titles to appear, because it's just at the point that you're thinking... Is this the right film?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, the first few minutes, it'll make no sense. If you're expecting Cabin in the Woods, it'll seem very bizarre.
Yeah, I literally was thinking, should I check with the cinema guy, make sure this isn't something else entirely?
Mm-hmm.
So it
makes it very clear that is the right film.
Yes.
But also, I mean, it would annoy me if I didn't know it. When we're saying, can't talk about certain things, it's not in terms of, like, the big twist, because... I think if The Sixth Sense, if anyone says, won't tell you the twist, then all the way through you're trying to think, what's the twist? And then you'll probably work it out. There's lots of stuff we shouldn't talk about how it all pans out, because that's the fun to discover it. But it's not a single twist moment.
No, it's more of a churn.
Yeah,
in fact.
It all just unfolds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like a stomach knotty kind of metaphor, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was thinking more like making a good cheese. But I'd say it's a churn.
It's a slow rotation.
Continual. Yeah.
Yes, but so it never sort of pulls the rug out from under you. It pulls the rug with you on it At a sedate bed.
So in the cabin, there's a rug.
Yeah.
And don't look under the rug. Boy, yeah. And on the boy, there's a phone.
Yeah. So it just pans out in a very interesting way, but not knowing how it's going to pan out is what makes it.
Well, without talking about how it pans out, then, could I just say that one thing I did quite like, I think I liked. I mean, there's certain bits that I didn't like so much. I know a lot of people have gone crazy about it, and I did enjoy it for the main part and endure it in a certain way. I would say it had a certain bleakness of a horror film that even some other horror films I've seen, even like things like Your Final Destinations or Scream, whatever, there's a bit of hope that...
I quite like that, though.
But if you embrace the hopelessness, then I suppose there's some ride there.
There's an event right at the end, and I think that the choices that were made are not
And also, I actually thought the way it was going was a bit more of a, and again, I don't want to go too detailed here, but maybe a sort of a good versus evil kind of...
Yeah.
I don't know, something a bit more dualistic, where you've got, okay, take sides, and it's sort of... I'm thinking of Clash of the Titans now, this is wrong. But something a bit more like that. But that said, even though those are my reservations about it, and it's certainly not for everyone. It is quite. I presume it's rated 18.
Might be 15, actually.
Really quite gory.
Yeah, there's a lot of gore in there.
Yeah, but it's kind of a comedy.
But because of that, exactly. What I would just say is the start of the third act, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
When the only way of really describing it is it going, I don't know if we can even say the word, but bat bleep crazy. I was watching it going, okay, well, they have really decided to just throw everything at this now, really. You've got to admire that. Whenever anyone just goes, right, let's unleash absolutely everything we've got on this scene.
Yeah, I think that's what I like the most about it, in that more than most other films I've seen recently, you get a clear sense of filmmakers who just thought, right, this is the ideas we've had. A lot of good ideas. They put them all in, and they've ended up with the film they clearly wanted to make from start to finish. They thought, right, this end result is exactly what we wanted, and we're pleased with this, rather than it being steered by focus groups or similar.
And it's really neat in the fact that... it's quite hard to talk about this film, isn't it?
It's very difficult.
In the fact that, I would really enjoy looking at it again and seeing the little telltale signs and seeing the little hints and nods and just details that are in the background that then come out later on. It does go so OTT that all the tension that I perhaps would have had just gets released. It's just like, this is just ridiculous, but it's great.
But
and
knowingly
I'm enjoying
so.
It.
I mean, it's intentionally goes that route. It's not that it loses you because, it's suddenly gone a bit stupid. Mm. It knows that's what it's doing.
There was a nice cameo at the end as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
I suppose. Although it is, again, without wanting to give away who the person is, but is there not some cameos, how to rephrase this? Some actors keep on just doing cameos. Is that fair to say?
True.
If someone says, at the end of this movie, there's a really great cameo, I'm now thinking it's going to be one of these four people.
True.
Because it's always the same people.
Yes.
You go, it's them again. Oh, well, that's an interesting thing. But
I can see it. Yes, because this person has done that a couple of times.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
They can't keep... What I'm saying is, they keep doing it 5, 6, 7, 8 times from now. You sort of be, just make a proper film. Be in it from the start. Rather than this, featuring at the end. I see, interesting.
Well, you've got time to kill and you...
They do appear in a way before the end as well.
Oh, only just before.
Yeah, but I got it.
Yeah.
So it counts.
Oh, really?
No, you hear a voice. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Don't say that.
That tells you nothing.
There's no voices.
No voices.
No
apart
voices.
From, apart from ours, listen to our voices.
Yes. Anyway.
Anyway, it's a great film. Go see it.
It's extremely good. I am very much not a horror person, and yet I still wanted to see this and thoroughly enjoyed this.
Go and see and tell us what you think.
Yeah. And also, if you know your sort of horror films or films at all, there are just things to pick up on where clearly they've...
It's like, don't go and check.
No, sort of, nods to other horror films, and you can. Yeah, so just go and watch it, because it is very good.
Yeah. Excellent.
Good. Well, that's that.
That's there that. Bye.
Cheers.
See you in 3 months.
Another 4 years.
Could you do Hunger Games?
No, should we do some Hunger Games?
I haven't seen Hunger Games.
Let's do that as well, because those are probably two, I reckon, come the end of the year, those two will be high up there, I think.
Yes, I think.
Both most positive lists, and also I'd expect on... in box office standards.
I don't think Cabin in the Woods probably won't know.
Because the rating, I suppose, excluded a large portion.
And also, the comment I made earlier about it, because it was made in, I think, 2009, and then got lost. I think it was made by MGM or something, and then they went bust. Bankrupt and all went. Yeah. So it kind of got lost. for a bit and then has finally resurfaced. So I think word of mouth will serve it very well down the line, but maybe initial box
maybe,
office
maybe
gross
it's a DVD
not so much.
One that will be popular.
I think
yeah,
so.
Have a
I think,
great
I think
cult
it'll
following.
Definitely do well there.
Yeah.
Hunger Games, however, is already I think it's cleared 400 million
it's
in America.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yes,
isn't it the highest opening weekend in America? Apart from the end of franchises like Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and other stuff.
But
so for start of a franchise, it's a first.
Yes.
But it just seems so bleak. I mean, I know that you've enjoyed it, which
I know,
means
but
that
it
I
is
should
bleak.
Go and see it. But the trailer just seems
so...
So
you have not seen this film?
I have not seen it, no. Okay. It just seems really kind of... What is the point?
It is quite
not in,
bleak. And all, but also having read all three books now, the books are all quite bleak as well.
They are,
aren't they? They're not... They don't end up... I mean, no, they're not. They're kind of realistically bleak, and they're not. They don't just go for full on tragedy.
Mm.
But equally, nor are they. Hey, everything ends up with a nice little bow. There's just, and nor is it just. Oh, we'll kill off one person just to show it. I mean, it's kind of a, yeah. Everyone goes through an ordeal, really, and those that make it to the end still aren't all that happy.
Yeah.
They're just sort of glad.
It's darker
they made it
than
the end.
You ha- than well, I said darker than Harry Potter, but Harry Potter got pretty dark towards the end. But it's certainly.
I'd still say it's darker than Harry
a
Potter.
A bit more adult and bleaker, probably.
Yes.
In the world, isn't it?
What was that Japanese film? Something Royale?
Oh, Battle Royale.
Battle Royale.
Yes, I mean, this
is
has
it...
been compared to that.
I've heard some people call this Battle Royale with cheese. That was courtesy of Mark Kermode, I should say. There you go.
Thing is, I mean, yeah, there are comparisons to be made, but even Battle Royale, I don't think, was necessarily original in its entire... I mean, because arguably Lord of the Flies is sort
very
of...
True.
Sim-
and
I mean,
Running
yes,
Man and all
yeah,
these
I mean,
elements
can,
of all
that.
Sort
I've,
of stuff.
I've seen Running Man, and I've seen Battle Royale, and they didn't seem... Well, for want of another word, bleak as this appears to do outwardly.
Mm. Battle Royale's pretty bleak.
It's pretty
it?
Bleak.
Yeah, but it's kind of menacing. It's kind of gritty, whereas this is like, oh, we're in the forest and now we're in concentration camps and now we're dead.
It's no, they're not concentration camps, it's just the city. The town, or District 12, which is where she comes from, is all on the edge of a forest, but it's generally just an unpleasant place. It's not a concentration camp, it's just a horrible place.
I think the difference is that Battle Royale just sort of shows us, you know, almost like in Tarantino way of just showing us that world.
Yeah.
Of we're on the island, this happens. Whereas Hunger Games and its books and all the presumably the films that will follow are much more, right, this is where we are, that's the game, but here's the worldview to go with it in a whole sort of 1984 backstory.
Yeah.
So we get to see
the games.
The
games exist because of this world, really.
Right? Okay.
And the more you know about the world, the more you go. Actually, that is quite bleak because of the way they've turned it into. I mean, the whole book was written in sort of as a Roman gladiatorial sort of style of thing.
Mm.
So a lot of the character names are all Roman, and it's all based on.
But also with parallels to kind of the West in comparison to the rest of the world, sort of, or other developing countries. Because the basic premise is you've got Pannea, I think it's the main city. Or the state, and you've got 12 districts surrounding it, and people who live in the city live lives of complete luxury and wear stupid clothes and have all the food they want and everything's great.
Yeah.
And all the 12 districts around them are progressively more unpleasant, but they sort of produce certain things that all kind of get funneled into the city and get ruled as a bit of a police state to varying degrees of severity.
So is it a world or is it just a country?
I think it's yes,
right.
I mean, it's meant to be like the US. But
oh, okay.
There are parallel... People have drawn parallels, I think fairly, saying that the city is like the US or the West, you know, living in loads of food and luxury and everything. And then all of the districts are kind of like poorer countries around the world who we basically mistreat in order to get cheap goods.
Oh, okay, fair.
And there, I can see that point. But it's not really hammered... It's not hammered over your head.
So what's the good things?
So the good, well, it is. It's a bleak setup. But what I would say about it is, I thoroughly enjoyed it as a film. I think actually more so than the book, I'd say, which is quite rare.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it's mixed opinions on that. But what I liked about it was that it bolted along. It doesn't let up. There's no sort of watch checking times really.
Yeah, despite being a relatively long film. I mean, it's not that long a film.
Yeah, it's good.
But it doesn't skimp.
It?
Yeah,
it has, I think.
But there's a lot. It's all good.
I think the reason I probably maybe preferred it to the book is that I found in the book there were partly because it takes longer to read a book.
Yes.
If you're me, if you're John, you read it quicker than the film. But there's also in the book there's a fair amount of moping and you know, it's been likened to Twilight a bit as well.
But not in not fairly, I think. There's a little bit more moping, but it's because it's all from her point of view. But it's her in the book anyway. It's more her struggles with sort of worrying about feeding her family. And yes, there are initially one bloke and then two blokes, the one she goes into the games with, who she's still got slightly confused feelings about, but those are very much secondary to surviving. So it's not all sort of, oh, but which boy do I like the most?
But there are occasions in all three books where she's sort of going, oh, but I don't know which one loves me. Do they both love me? Do I love that one? Do I love that one? I don't
but
know.
Whenever that
and,
comes...
then, and then, not only that, if that wasn't girly enough, then it's sort of, oh, and now I'm being made up like so, I'm so beautiful. I do not like this makeup. I like these clothes. I'm being dressed like a queen. And there's a little, I mean, I know that then that's not her character.
Yeah.
But so there are whole chunks where I'm going, it's another two pages about makeup, dresses and boys. Okay, come on, get to the killing.
Yeah, no, I can see that a bit
I
in the book.
I just say that was really quite nice to hear Paul say all that.
I take a bow.
But I would argue, although this is more reviewing the book now, I think you're doing it a slight disservice. Because those bits never...
The film gets to the good stuff quicker.
Yeah, no, that is true. But those bits in the book never really bothered me, because it was always quite... It seemed quite legitimate thought processes.
Who is the book aimed at? Is it an adult
it's meant
market?
To, no, it's meant to be a sort of teenager.
Teenage girls, teenage. I think.
So, okay, so perfectly apt.
Yeah, but far less so than Twilight, because rather than... Bella being kind of a blank slate of, oh, I just want a boy to love me.
Oh, angst and pain. Yes,
Katniss is far more, I am capable, I can do all of these things.
Again,
I will do
that,
all these things because I can't rely on anyone else.
There's no point in...
But in the process, there's this bloke I might like,
and
but I'll come
fair,
back to him.
There are some aspects of Twilight that I really enjoyed, so if this isn't even half...
No, exactly. I like the Twilight films.
Yeah.
Except the second one, which maybe...
There's no point in the home games where she... Katniss never hugs her knees
for
4 seasons. That doesn't really happen.
Yeah, I mean, she's always, even when struggling with stuff, she's still...
In the Hunger Games...
She's still capable and doing things.
In the Hunger Games itself, if you hug your knees for more than a minute, you're going to be killed.
Well, yes.
So, yeah.
That's it. Bella, I mean, fundamentally, Bella is a very passive character, which makes her very irritating. Katniss is a very active character.
Also, because Bella is basically a vehicle to project any girl's own dreams onto. So...
Which is what makes it so irritating.
They should have made a point of it. They should have had one of the contestants of the 24, being called Bella, just hugging her knees in the corner until someone just gets a spear and then carries on. There you go.
That would have been really good. Was it in the book?
It's not in the book. That would have been a nice way to answer a critic. This is not Twilight. Well,
but fortunately, I think the critics are doing that job by basically saying it's much better than Twilight. So fundamentally, it's just good. It follows the books very closely, but sort of skipping. Yeah, I mean, essentially moving things along.
I would say
faster.
Good direction from Gary Ross in all that stuff, but also the cast. I think brilliantly cast.
Jennifer Lawrence is phenomenal.
Really, really good.
Because I mean, that's one thing I liked about the books is expelling her thought processes very clearly, and sometimes maybe too much, but doing a good job of what she's doing and why she wants to do it. And Jennifer Lawrence conveys all of that. Yeah. Mainly with a look.
And Stanley Tucci should host the Oscars, I think.
Oh, as that character.
Yeah, be fantastic.
So, is it still at the cinema at the moment?
I think it is.
It is.
Excellent, okay.
It's running and running because it's doing very well.
So running for its life.
Exactly. It is. Basically, that's not what they're doing. They're putting new films into the cinemas and Hunger Games style. Hunger Games goes, ha-cha!
Kills off all the others. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it was at number one in America for 3 or 4 weeks and has only just lost it to some random film. But just this was clearly the week it happened to lose it.
Cool. Okay. Well, I shall give it a whirl.
There's a lot of that in the way that the films at the minute reflect. They're themselves like that. That's with the Hunger Games Battleship. You try and get a seat for Battleship. They said, "What seat do you want?" You go D4.
You sunk my Battleship.
See, I still haven't seen Battleship, but kind of want to, but feel slightly bad about the fact that I want to.
Don't want to.
Really? Is it?
I mean, I haven't seen it, but you don't want to.
I just want to know how they managed to make the film out of a really, really simple board game.
Well, I think the trailer...
That's
the
not
trailer
even a great board game.
No, I think the trailer the trailer does the job of just
the best
saying...
Thing
it's
about
a film
board game,
with
there's no aliens in the board game.
No,
it's just Battleship.
No, it's two fleets against each other.
Then why are the aliens?
Because two fleets against each other is boring.
But
yeah,
I didn't realize
to have a common enemy.
Well, true, I suppose so. I didn't realise that about an hour into the film, they do just stop things and do the board game. Like, they don't actually get the board game out, but they do the whole sort of D9, miss. And they do all that stuff for about a minute, and then there's more...
What do you mean? Someone plotting out attacks on a grid?
For whatever plot reason, they can't actually see what's going on.
Yeah, it does sort of make sense. They'd throw that in just D7. To really crowbar at home.
See, the best thing about Battleships is that reference in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Mm.
And then that's it.
You sank my Battleship.
No more?
But yes.
2 out of 3.
But then just like in Doom, they had to have a first-person perspective with like a gun waving around, which looked awful because it works as a game because you're controlling it. If you're just watching someone else fling their gun around first-person point of view, it's really weird.
So you have seen Battleship?
No.
I have not seen Battleship.
Okay, so
nor does he
want to. We're talking about a film that we haven't seen.
Exactly.
Okay.
But that does not stop us reviewing.
Reviews are not great, but they're not as bad as they could have been.
I think it just looks like entertaining rubbish.
Well, yeah,
it
is meant to, I think it's just meant to be quite popcorn.
Well, yes.
But you still don't think that deserves
it's
to get
not,
your
it's
hard
not
end
heavyweight.
Count.
I've heard it described as sub Transformers.
Oh, really?
So in that it's, you know, it is a blockbuster and it is one of these big, it is what it is, but it's a bad version of what it is.
So
no, it's not even entertaining.
I'm still quite keen to see it, though.
See, Transformers I enjoyed.
Transformers 2, less so. And Transformers 3, somewhere between the two. So Battleships could be...
Is it LaBeouf? What's his name?
Shia LaBeouf, who I dislike in all
that. Shiny Beef Man.
He's in a new film with Tom Hardy.
So he just offended my senses when he was in the Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's true.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Moving on.
We're tangentializing.
So there you go. Hunger Games, Cabinet Woods.
Cabinet Woods.
There's nothing else on Hunger Games to say, though, I don't think.
Not really. Essentially, it's another one that is quite good. It's, yeah, a load of teenagers killing each other.
It's another one based on Battleship, which is based on the board game, and Hunger Games is based on the Hunger Game, the board game of the Hunger.
What, hungry hippos.
They cut the hippos out.
Didn't quite work. Yeah. Although someone has mocked up, I think using the Battleship poster with a ship being destroyed. Someone's mocked up that with Hungry Hungry Hippos being the next board game. Just a ship with a hippo, huge hippo, lunging out of the water and biting onto it. And done a very good job of it. Yeah. So fingers crossed to make that next.
They had a nice feature on the Five Live film review thing of other board games you could turn into films. With someone doing a very, very good sell of Jenga, being some sort of giant skyscraper destruction terrorist thing. Yeah. Starring John Cusack as, take that block away, tumble.
Well, no, Monopoly was or is being worked on.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, Ridley Scott's got the rights.
Yeah. I think they might have pulled the plug on it because everyone decided it was a stupid idea.
I kind of would like to see how that would work out.
But you
just
could make...
Everyone watching with hate as one person is just cleaning up with glee.
Well, that's the trouble. <isn't it? laughs> If it follows the nature of any game of Monopoly, it means after half an hour, you'd know exactly what's going to happen and then you just have to suffer through it for the next hour and a half.
Well, this would be the point of the film, isn't it? There'd have to be a couple of, of the chances or the community chess that would really scupper them.
It would be so awful to film that there'll be walkouts just like in Monopoly when half of the people just walk out.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, by the end of the film, only two people left watching the credits. That'll be it. Going, ha-ha, aren't we clever? But also, if you do Monopoly, then, of course, everywhere in the world, they've got their own different version of... we'd want to watch it going, Pall Mall, and all that stuff.
Maybe it'd be international. It's about, five jet sets and different... See, I'm starting to write it now.
I'd love to sit with crap dubbing that just dubs over, instead of Wall Street.
Sort of so going, everyone scratching their faces while they talk about, Old Kent Road. And
that'd be marvellous. Exactly. Yeah. I think that'd be great.
You better hotel on Mayfair.
I like it.
I think that'll be a lot more watchable than whatever dross they're actually going to make.
Speaking of films that translate all over the world because there's no dialogue in them.
Nice.
John Carter.
Oh, can we just talk about John Carter just for a second?
All right, do John Carter, then we'll do the artist.
John Carter's about John Carter with John Carter, and there's John Carter in it. And who are you? You're John Carter.
The thing is, I feel weirdly defensive about John Carter because I quite enjoyed it, and I think... And it's also being... It's going to end up being horrendously maligned as one of the greatest box office failures ever, despite the fact that it's... Yes. Except, weirdly, it was... I think Disney put out saying, we're going to lose $200 million on it, while it was still in cinemas. So they were still going to be making money off it, and DVDs and the rest of it they'll get more money back on. But that number will be forever.
Will they go for the pity vote or something? Well, I don't know.
It just seems a bit weird.
Poor Disney, you never make any money.
I mean, it just seemed a slightly odd choice just to say, so that number, it will forever be documented. Oh, I lost $200 million. Then the end result won't be anything
like that. Well, the reason why is because
was dreadful.
Just saying someone's name again and again does not tell you about the film.
I think that should be the study.
Is that the trailer then? Is it
pretty much John Carter? It's John Carter.
It's pretty. I mean, the teaser.
Is it like being John Carter? Is it Malkovich? Carter.
I think because it's directed by, is it Brad Bird or is it someone else?
Yeah, no,
John Lasseter.
It's one of the other fellas.
It's another Pixar.
Isn't it another Drew. I think it's another Drew, isn't it?
We'll find out.
It'll be on the intertube somewhere.
But the ironic thing is that for most of the film, he was called Virginia.
Yes. But I was reading somewhere about the marketing campaign, and apparently whoever directed it, he was such a big fan.
Andrew Stanton,
who I think did The Incredibles, maybe. And apparently he was such an advocate of John Carter. I don't know if either the trailer...
Toy Story 3... Wall-E, Finding Nemo, Monster
League. Toy Story, but either the trailer got left up to him, or he hadn't, because it was his first live-action, big-budget thing, he hadn't anticipated the timing for sort of doing certain shots in time for a trailer. So when a first trailer was needed, they didn't have the shots they wanted, so I had to sort of rush some stuff and just make up bits. So, but it means from the word go, the marketing was a bit weird. Well, and seemed to be relying on people know. And it's a 100-year-old book, which I hadn't heard of before this film came
out. John Carter of Mars.
Yes. No, it's called Princess of Mars.
A Princess of Mars, yes. Not even John Carter
of Mars. No, not John Carter of Mars. Mm. And they changed it to John Carter of Mars because they figured no teenage boy would ever see a film called Princess of Mars. And I think they're right on that.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And then they lost the of Mars. They thought, oh, no, ends up being called John Carter.
Right.
And no one knows who John Carter is. And just says, oh, it's an alien planet and some bloke called John Carter. And they just didn't sell it at all. And if they'd done it better...
So...
It's not that it's a tremendous film, but it's not terrible.
Well, what about the film? We've reviewed the trailer and the marketing. Somebody go to see the film, is it better than that?
The film I quite enjoyed, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think your reaction will be typical of most people who will have heard it was a bomb and will assume it's one of the worst films ever made. And it's really not. It's nothing. It's not great, but it's fine.
So it was the marketing that went wrong, and that was it?
Yeah. They didn't. It was pitched as... I think most people, myself, and I just went to see it because I see everything, but most people will have probably seen the trailer and thought, right, so it's a bloke who's on a planet with aliens... There's nothing to sell it. It just sort of looked like a generic big spectacle thing.
The only problem is the actual depiction of John Carter was a little generic, but the situations and the story was really quite great. The special effects were wonderful.
Yeah.
With the alien species.
Yes. Because basically, John Carter is a is sort of an ex Civil War fighter soldier who, via sort of convoluted magical means, gets transported to Mars, where alien civilizations live, and he sort of gets caught up in a civil war and joins the side of right, and it all wins out.
It turns out that the side of wrong have got rather higher being forces on their side, which then also affect on Earth as well anyway, so it's all a bit like,
It's not that deep, but it's all well explained. But none of that's in the trailer. It's all just sort of, and if they just spelled it out, you know, he was a man who got catapulted to Mars and got thrown into a civil war but triumphed. Even that was, and some of the fan-made trailers have surfaced doing a better job. So, and also, partly I think it suffered because it's such an old book. Lots of ideas from it have been slightly nicked by other people over the years.
Yes.
Nothing that obvious, but it doesn't look original anymore, even though at the time it was ridiculously original. So, yeah.
I think it's worth having... I think it's a very entertaining film, and
yeah,
I think
it's
particularly
a good,
like
it's a good family film, I think.
If it comes on telly, on a matinee or something during the weekend, it would be definitely worth watching, and I think it's a shame that it didn't quite get a bit further than it has done.
So that's why. It's kind of a fighting for the underdog, if a $200 million film can be called an underdog. But, yeah, it should have done better than it did.
Yeah.
Which isn't to say it should have blown away records, but it's a perfectly decent film.
We should have reviewed it sooner, because they could have done some good quotes.
Well, very true.
We might have got a poster for the first time.
Given that they didn't seem to do anything else at all.
Mm. Well, anyway, so that was that.
Yes, so that was good. Okay. But anyway, talking about no dialogue, the artist, which is going back a bit further.
Yeah.
But it's good enough, we thought.
L'artiste.
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet. I still haven't seen it.
Oh.
Because I know it won lots of Oscars and with things. We haven't even done a post-Oscar show, but didn't it do well? And I didn't see it. I'm going to wait for the small screen.
I think, as I said at the time, it's an amazing film, and there's even a bit with the dog.
Yes.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
That's it. I mean, the story is relatively simple, because it sort of has to be for a silent film, but it's very well told and conveyed very well, and you care. And there is the sound that's in it, be it music or other sounds, are done very well and sort of to good effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think even at the beginning, because it's got a soundtrack of musical instruments, it's an instrumental beginning, but the beginning of the film is a load of musical instruments.
Yeah.
And
they're watching a film which the star is in.
Yeah. So you are sort of making the connection that obviously what you're seeing is what you're hearing. Because that's what we do.
That's true.
And it's only when things shift that you realise you're still listening to what you were listening to before. And it suddenly jars you out of it. But then it does go, okay, yeah, things are going to be different, but bear with us, it's going to work out well. And then you sort of almost forget that it's there.
Okay.
And then when there are slight changes, which there are, I think that's fair enough to say, they're so much more poignant and powerful, particularly because of the subject matter of the whole film, which is obviously about the rise of the talkies.
Yeah, and the importance of sound in film.
Yeah.
So someone who was big in silent films now won't necessarily be.
It's amazing how you said Rise of the Talkies. I thought, you know, the Nazis. How quickly you forget.
Slightly different film.
It was a bit unfortunate, wasn't it?
I think the thing I was most aware, I mean, more so than when watching a normal film, for want of a better phrase, is my own thought processes, in that without dialogue, sort of cluttering up your brain, you're there analysing other people or the characters' thoughts and feelings and hopes, and a sentence will flash up with a still card, what they're saying. But you're analysing behaviour on screen far more than you do if someone's just either expressing their own thoughts or saying what they're going to do or shouting out, take cover!
Of course. you see a lot of those films, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, everything's a lot more poised, I suppose. It's so much more considered.
Yeah, so it's just everyone should see it.
Who's the name of the main...
I want to say Jean Dujardin, but I think it's not. Is it that?
Johnny Garden.
Johnny of the Garden.
Johnny of the Garden, yeah.
Like Anna Green Gables, but quite.
which is rather strange, that obviously for a sort of Western market, that to have somebody who obviously doesn't speak English as the main character could only really happen in this silent film.
Very true.
And he's absolutely marvellous.
Yeah.
He's everything that you would want and hope from this era pin-up. He is just brilliant. Absolutely.
It was
brilliant.
Odd to see at the Oscars and BAFTAs and things, the cast in modern day dress, surrounded by Brad Pitt and people we know from today.
Yeah.
Because in the trailers and things I'd seen, you sort of think, well, yeah, you look like a classic 1930s.
And because there are one or two modern American people in it as well, but very much on the sidelines, so you don't really get enough time to think about them.
I think there's one in particular, which is his agent.
Well, you've got the head of the studio, who is John Goodman.
John Goodman has a, dare I say it, face and frame that sort of makes you think, yes, he looks like he belongs
He is a 20s film studio. He is. And James Cromwell is his driver as well. Okay. And again, looks like a hangdog driver.
He was brilliant.
Yeah. And I think those are the main two, really. Mm. So it's just...
Paul, you really have to go and see it.
I'm looking forward to it.
I don't know if the DVD is out yet.
Pretty soon, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
would have thought it'd be. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if cinemas do extra viewings, and I would recommend that just because the sound is so important.
Right.
And to hear it,
But also, actually, I was going to say, because the ratio of the screen is square, so it's framed like an old style film. Except, of course, modern TVs are widescreen, so that doesn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got an old got an old TV.
Oh,
yeah. Think it is. Yeah.
But no, anyone who hasn't seen this film, go and see it.
Yeah, and if you're there thinking, oh, I don't like black and white films, then I'm not.
Then
I'm
see
resisting,
it and then judge.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm resisting just saying, oh, you're an idiot. Because
but we wouldn't say that.
No one listening to this podcast is going to say I don't like black.
I
and
don't
white
like films.
Yeah, no, I don't like black and because that's just.
What are you doing here?
A ridiculous way.
If you don't like black and white films, why not email us podcast@moviebanter.co.uk and just say I don't like black and white films.
Yeah,
and then we will add your email address
to as many abuse lists as we can find. It's bizarre. But people, it's like saying I don't like subtitle films. Mm. I mean, maybe I can understand there might be some fundamental reason. No, not really. I'm waffling.
To be fair, sometimes with subtitle films, it's all about timing and the fact that sometimes there's more to read than you can read.
And also it can be irritating if you've got to read the bottom of the screen while trying to follow action on the screen.
Yeah. And if I didn't bring my glasses...
Because
the trailer often of foreign films is they make you think it's English language and you get there and go, oh, he's in blimmin'
Norwegian.
Timbuktu, isn't it? You know? Whatever it is.
What's this foreign mic?
In fact, that was, I think, a film we will talk about next time, or one of the next time, is called Headhunters, which we've just seen. And I think it was the trailer for that. They do a very good job of just having, saying he was a man on the run and show some action. Yeah, but he was being hunted, but show some action. And you come out of it, unless you're particularly analytical, think, oh, it looks like an action film. And then you say, oh, hang on, it's Norwegian. And everyone in it is Norwegian. And it turns out they're all speaking in Norwegian. There's no dialogue in this film.
It'd be nice if they got a language where there's a couple of words that are the same in English.
Yeah.
Like someone just goes, hi. And you hear that in the train and go, oh, it must be English.
Yeah. Hi and taxi.
Or
and that's
a French film that goes, camping, weekend.
Cul-de-sac.
The clues will be there.
What a rubbish trailer.
I'd like to make that film. That would be great.
To me, that could be got a good setup for a horror film. Yeah, like kids go camping at a weekend in a cul-de-sac. Horror ensues.
But among like eight houses.
I don't know why they'd be in a caravan in a cul-de-sac. I mean, that's a problem. The GPS goes wrong.
There's a Ménage à Trois. Who knows what happens?
Exactly. Yeah. And then something happens. It is the very essence of I don't know what. To steal an Austin Powers joke.
That's very nice.
Oh,
but,
yes,
very
brilliant. Good. The cul-de-sac horror.
Cul-de-sac.
Yes. Well, it could be a sequel to Wrong Turn.
Very true.
Anyway, your emails.
Yes.
We've exhausted that bit. Let's move on.
I don't know that your email. No, still not.
Your email.
Right. Okay.
Have some.
Cool.
Yes, we have some Facebook comments from Vlad Anghin on Jin and
Vlad.
Vlad.
There's not going to be that many Vlads.
And a very cool surname, which I'm sorry we can't pronounce. So it says, Mark Ruffalo doesn't make a great Hulk. Ooh. There, I said it.
Ooh.
I'm yet to see the Avengers, though.
So that's from the trailer alone?
Well, yes, which I think is a bit harsh. Wow. I think there was a bit of a... Mark Ruffalo said that there's a... He made the mistake, in his own words, of when he was announced as the Hulk, reading sort of the fan opinion online.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I won't do that again. Because I think a lot of people liked Edward Norton as the Hulk.
He was good.
I can see it. It was good. But I think Mark Ruffalo's got... I think he'll be able to do it.
He was good as the other one.
Why didn't Ed Norton come back?
I don't know if either he didn't want to, or if he wanted to, and Marvel didn't want him to, because of either money or awkwardness or something. Right, so basically, I'm just making up possible ideas.
I'm going to guess that he didn't want to, because he doesn't strike me as a big...
No, not necessarily.
Kind of
yeah, it was. I think it was a bit of an odd choice to begin with, but because, you know, I always think of Fight Club and stuff like that.
Mm.
So.
But then wasn't him in The Incredible Hulk the first of the... Avengers films?
I think Iron Man... Well, Iron Man really was the first one.
Was it?
Because that had Samuel L. Jackson at the end saying, I'm starting up an initiative I want you to join.
Incredible Hulk came after that, did it?
Yes.
Right.
Hulk was before it. Incredible Hulk was after it.
Gotcha.
And I think then it was Iron Man 2, and then Thor and Captain America.
Yes.
And then, yeah. Mm-hmm. But The Avengers, I am very excited about.
Seeing it on the weekend? Woo-hoo.
Yes.
Woo-ha.
Cool.
Also had a Facebook message from Mark Young.
Oh, my brother.
Who?
Maybe related to Paul Carenza. Maybe. Don't ask why. he says, Cabin in the Woods, I liked it, although I believe Paul didn't. Which is not
well,
what
you
just
said. That was a brief conversation when I basically said that I didn't. which I don't know how he got that. But, I think I rate it 7 out of 10. I did like it, but I went in thinking, I'd heard so much buzz and even
yeah,
though
I think,
no spoilers.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's
the only spoiler I heard was hype.
Yes.
And which slightly spoiled it.
No,
I think it was good, but just not the masterpiece I'd hoped.
Right. But then a follow-up comment from Gavin Ennison who says, Paul's wrong. Okay. And I agree.
About most things.
Yes. And another message from Jez saying, DVD-wise, Paul was wrong on Take Shelter.
No!
See,
Paul
now,
was correct on Take Shelter. It's a boring
mess. Exactly, so Michael Shannon, very good. The whole piece was superb on a tonal level. I can't remember what Take Shelter was about.
Take Shelter was a film about a coming storm, and I think I reviewed it very briefly on a previous episode. And it's Michael Shannon and Jessica Chastain, and it's just one of these slow-burning... dramas that in theory is about the state of America but is all focused on one family, and it's Michael Shannon just going to pieces because he thinks he should build a shelter because he thinks there's a storm coming, and is there or isn't there, or maybe, or who knows, or who cares, because then the credits roll and it's time to go home. And I just thought it was our critics loved it. I hated it. Clearly I'm wrong.
Fair
and
enough.
Jez agrees with the critics.
Is it similar sort of situation as The Tree of Life? And...
Well, that's what I likened it to in our previous episode. Because Jessica Chastain was in The Tree of Life as well.
And
this is the one I said that I needed to learn my lesson, because Michael Shannon was in Revolutionary Road.
Yes.
Which critics loved and I thought was
boring. I quite liked it.
I liked
it. Oh, am I going to have my own here?
But,
I didn't
rave about Revolutionary Road, but I did quite like it.
Maybe because also I'm a bit of a girl. Hi.
Which bit?
The elbow.
Just the elbow?
That's
a bit harsh.
Just one elbow.
The other one.
The other elbow's got a very masculine quality to it.
It sort of struck different, I wouldn't say personal chords, but yeah. So forgive me for liking that one.
And your hormones.
Okay. But I haven't really heard much about
Well, I didn't like it. But Jez did, clearly.
Hill said, we need to talk about Kevin. Thought the film was way overpraised by Mark Kermode. Frustrating at times. Too jumpy on timelines, but the final act was fantastically handled, especially if you don't know the plot points slash have read the book. And he is assembling the Avengers tomorrow night.
Hey.
Yeah, see, the Avengers, because in the UK, it's been renamed to Avengers Assemble, rather than just The Avengers. I know, and it's...
What? The Avengers...
I think it's just called Avengers Assemble, because Avengers it's the first film.
Assemble!
Well, yeah, because that is...
IKEA instruction manual.
Yeah, exactly.
But that is, I think, the term used in the comics as well, when sort of to call them all together. But...
Thundercats, ho!
I think it's purely to avoid confusion with the TV series, The Avengers. Or possibly the 1998 film of the TV show called The Avengers, which was dreadful. And no one cares about the film, because it was awful. And no one who is likely to see The Avengers will remember the TV series Avengers, really, or care. So it just seems like such a non-issue.
The Avenger Boys.
But and also no one's seeing the posters for The Avengers with Iron Man and Captain America. So, where's Edward... No, John Peel? Not John Peel.
John Peel.
He's John a DJ.
Peel. Emma Peel.
Emma Peel and John Steed.
That's all we have.
Well done.
But no, okay, apart from me...
Sean Connery controlling the weather.
Yeah.
That was it. That's right.
Awful film. And Eddie Izzard being chased by, like, robotic bees. Oh,
that was weird. What? Was it the point
of
the
bees.
Oh, it's a terrible film. But yeah, so there's no connection, so why they renamed it, I don't know. Mainly
but
because running a film website, if you have to deal with multiple titles, that's it's a pain in the backside.
Anyway. I bet also that the original Avengers film, from the 90s or whatever it was, will be re-released and repackaged in the same font
as the Avengers Assemble. With just a couple of explosions and maybe Uma Thurman looking possibly like a Black Widow.
And it's
which
gonna
she
kind
of does, wears black leather, of course.
And it's going to be top of the budget chart in Asda and Sainsbury's and Tesco within a fortnight.
Yeah, whose grandparents have said, you said you wanted to see this, and I thought, it's out on DVD already, so I know.
And the Venger Boys album will be out in the same font as well. They'll all be there.
Yes.
Anyway.
David Isaac said, no recent ones, but Wrath of the Titans was appallingly bad. That's fairly
feel
recent.
Feel the wrath.
CGI has really ruined action films. See, I disagree. Well...
Agreed.
I
seconded.
I'm middle of the road on that. Because I think there were a lot of bad action films before CGI came along as well, frankly.
Yes, exactly.
Seconded as well.
Well, yes.
I agree with everybody.
It's possibly made it easier to make impressive-looking but bad films, if that makes sense.
As you rely on a bad action film without CGI.
That's the problem. You say impressive looking. I think what looks impressive to me is when I can see that they've filmed that. They've been to Tunisia and got 1,000 people to stand somewhere. And I go, that's impressive.
No, but I
but
think...
when I see they clicked enter on a computer, I go, that's not...
No, but the Lord of the Rings battle scenes involved a mix of lots of extras, but also lots of CGI, and it was using the two combined... in some close-ups and some wide shots, and the end result was phenomenal.
I don't think it's quite a case of pressing enter.
All right, return, whatever you call it now. Right, control alt delete.
Having said that, John Carter, ooh.
Yeah, CGI.
It's got a lot of CGI, but I thought it was really quite a wonder to look at. I mean, it's not the be-all and end-all. You shouldn't rely on it.
Yes, I think that's the main problem. If you get a bad filmmaker who relies on it, this will do the job. Then it doesn't. If you get a good filmmaker with a good eye for what works well and you take the time to do it right, then it can end up so that you can't really tell the difference.
I just like to see, you know, that Dogme 95 thing where they had a list of rules. I'd like to see a Dogme 2012 thing where rather than it being independent European film directors saying to Hollywood, right, you don't have to do this. You can do the CGI if you want, but a new rule, if you want to make these sort of films in a different way, you're not allowed CGI. Same, you can have your budget, have your stars. Just don't use CGI and just see what comes up. And I'd love to see just one film a year, a blockbuster that's made without CGI. Wouldn't that be nice?
I'm sure there are almost certainly blockbusters that are made without CGI.
But are they really? They all use a bit of CGI.
I'm wondering whether the artist has got CGI in it somewhere.
Almost certainly. But that's the point. I mean, that's why CGI... It's like saying, colour has ruined... I mean, it's not. It's too...
It has, exactly.
It's a tool.
Stuck in the dark.
Sound.
I mean, the best example I can think of, actually, is The Bourne Identity, where they used... They filmed a... scene in a cornfield where they're sort of chasing Clive Owen, I think. And the cornfield that they had, which was exactly right for lighting and setup and the set and everything else, wasn't populated enough with bits of corn. So they just filled it out with CGI just to make it look like a more full cornfield. But I guarantee you, I didn't notice it. Would you have known?
They should have. Think of the actors' jobs who could have got the job playing corn.
Planting corn.
Being corn, standing there. They've done drama school. They can do it.
I know Inception has got a lot of CGI, but I still think it's amazing when...
Well, that's great, yeah.
When... I've forgotten the character of the young
architect. Oh, Joseph
Gordon-Levitt.
You're talking about Yes.
Well, when she's there, first of all, experimenting with the mirrors and pushing the mirrors across,
yes.
And you see the mirror go across, and then there's no camera.
Yeah.
There's no you. And that's just one little thing, but that was just amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying all CGI is bad.
That's
I'm
what,
saying
that's,
good,
that,
good
that's
CGI
exactly
can make a film great.
Yeah.
But
dodgy CGI. Sometimes they do it as a quick filler.
Yes. I mean, oh, yeah, no. That,
one,
yes,
one of the
that
worst examples I think of is Die Another Day, when they did that ice surfing
thing. Oh, that's true.
And they clearly did it thinking, you know what, it'll do.
Yeah.
People will just tolerate it. And we sort of did.
Was
we
that the last
it,
of the...
It was awful.
Was that the last of the Pierce Brosnans?
Yeah, that was
it.
Killed it off.
There you
but
go.
Then, then weirdly, I was talking... I went to see Lockout, which again, we'll talk about in another week. But that's... I'm more forgiving of dodgy CGI if it's a low-budget film, which Lockout is quite a low-budget film, but then you can use CGI to sort of get more impressive-looking effects than you could if you were with no budget. But it still kind of looks ropey, but I was more forgiving of it because it's a low-budget film. And so they could do a bit more if they had to actually... Mainly it's a motorbike chase, which sort of looks almost deliberately a bit ropey. Not dreadful, but it's obviously quite computery. But I didn't bother because it's quite a short bit. You know it's a low-budget film. If they didn't have CGI, if they couldn't use CGI, then they wouldn't have had half the stuff they had in the film, and the film wouldn't exist, if that makes sense. So I'm sort of forgiving of it in a low-budget film as a tool. If it's a big-budget film, like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, to come back to Indiana Jones again, the monkey-swinging bit was dodgy, and then it looked dreadful. So it's a weird, it's kind of a standard thing. In a big film...
I know that's not... CGI's not the only thing that made the new Indiana Jones not as good as the previous three.
But it didn't help.
But exactly, just the previous ones felt a bit more like the effort. You could just see that people had gathered and these humans had created this thing rather than blimmin' megapixels and Pac-Man or whatever it's called nowadays.
Yes. This is where you and I do it.
Because
I am certain, I very rarely listen to director's commentaries and should, but I'm certain that far more just regular shots now have CGI in them than we are even aware of.
I'm sure.
And so the fact, if you don't notice it, I don't think it matters.
No, I don't mind those. It's just when it's just...
Yeah, when it's too much that...
Blockbuster equals CGI.
Yeah.
Just to go back to it, I can't remember what... Have I seen Wrath of the Titans?
No, it was a sequel to Clash of the Titans. Which I'd heard is
when Titans will clash.
Yes.
Okay.
And this one, it was Titans will have Wrath. Yeah.
Which was that really awful one, set on the rock face.
That was the Immortals. that wasn't good. We'll come to that as well. We've got all these films we need to talk about. No, we'll talk about that next time.
Okay.
Wrath of the Titans, I heard, was slightly better than Clash of the Titans, but still not much. And clearly, but as not bad. David Isaac said, it's still not great. Right. We've got a couple more, but we'll leave it there, because we'll this is dragged on a bit.
So, high points are Cabin in the Wood and The Artist.
And The Hunger Games.
And The Hunger Games. I'm being selfish.
All the films we reviewed are all good. What was the other one?
I can't remember. Very good.
It can't be that good.
John Carter. That was less good. But all right, but give it a chance, is what I'm saying.
It was good.
We haven't planned one, but Desert Island Discs. Best film starring John Carter. Best silent film, you know, is The Artist, isn't it? Or Mel Brooks' silent movie, or any actual silent film.
Well, exactly.
How many people have seen, really?
I've seen some Charlie Chaplin and
Buster Keaton ones.
But like the bit from
Mark's not silent.
Buster Keaton when he's falling off the clock, like he's Back to the Future.
Yeah.
But I'll go.
Lloyd, isn't it?
I think it is actually.
Sorry, poo. Know? So in that case, I better go for The Artist because I actually have seen that.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of one. I'm going to go for Speed 2 Cruise Control on mute. Makes it a better film.
Yes. Can't have mute, then I'm just going to have any Scarlett Johansson film on mute.
Oh, there you go. I should have done that.
I win.
Yes.
Anyway, I think I win.
Thank you for your patience and for patience in terms of how long it's taken to produce this.
Thank you for listening.
this is going to be quite a long podcast. So thank you for that as well.
Email us, podcast@moviebanter.co.uk.
Yes. Or facebook.com/moviebanter, or tweet us @moviebanter.
Yeah.
Also, I updated our Movie Banter Twitter page with all of our... So in the description, it has now our personal Twitter accounts as well.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because it is... Yeah, I say personal. It's not like our home addresses. Yes. It's Twitter. It's meant to be public. So, yeah.
I better start checking.
Better start
tweeting. No, Jen never pays attention. But I do.
But anyway, we'd love to see you again. Yes. We shall see you next time.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.